Blog Talk Radio.
Man, you gotta love Blog Talk. I'm telling you.
There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man, a lot of time.
Which direction we are going?
Directly El Camino. It would have been DWI.
Have reached a tipping point.
Once again, we're the tipping point, and we have an episode I am so excited about. Of course, we're going to have Duke Ingram on later to talk about power rankings, but more than that, we're going to have Gary Lamb on, and that's always a special thing to have Gary Lamb on. But for tonight, I got to say, I'm more excited than I have been to have Gary on, because he is, I think he's doing something really important here, and we are proud to be a part of it, talking about the Fight Commission and a little bit of, I believe, corruption going on, and we're going to help expose that and uncover that and ask the tough questions. But who's going to do that? Me, Stephen Platinum. And, of course, I'm joined, as always, by the award-winning legend that is Larry Goodman. How you doing tonight, Larry?
I am doing well tonight. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Better than Blog Talk, I'll tell you that.
Fuck these guys. I mean, their technical support is completely useless. So I don't know that if it wasn't for the archive, which we're going to try to figure out how we can preserve the archive of all these great shows, I don't think we'll be long for Blog Talk, because this is twice now in recent months where they're just, you know, completely non-functional. So
I do love the Paul Heyman-esque shooting from within. Paul Heyman once did to TNN. Speaking of which, we had WrestleMania weekend. Wasn't what I heard described as the biggest WrestleMania of all time. So, Larry, I'm going to pose a very difficult question to you right off the top. I'm sharpening my tools for Gary Lamb here. Biggest WrestleMania of all time? Question mark.
Financially.
Financially, most definitely. We had two crowds of almost 75,000. A very unique thing. I don't think they were lying.
No.
And the gate was staggering. An average $300 a seat ticket to bring in a gate of an estimated $64 million, I believe. That alone, when you look at the numbers that they needed to hit for the first WrestleMania, just stay alive, and how they were happy that they hit it. That is a very tiny fraction of what we're talking about here. Between the $64 million, between all the money that's pouring in for them to be on Netflix, for all the money that, you know, Peacock's poured out, for the amount of merchandise sold, on and on and on. And congratulations on Cody Rhodes finishing his story. Congratulations for the WWE doing what really only one other wrestling group has managed to do in the last 20 years, which is to tell a more than 1 year, but really a 2 or 3 year story, and being able to pull it off in a way that could be deemed successful. The other, of course, being me. So congratulations to the WWE for being able to manage to not fuck it up at the end, and managing to overcome a lot of obstacles, including, you know, Voldemort of WWE, Vince McMahon. Did you watch the Hall of Fame by chance, Larry?
I only watched the Heyman, which,
lucky
I love
you.
That.
lucky you. I think Jeff only watched Heyman as well. And I said, it's good that you only watched Heyman, because not only was it a great speech and very Heyman-esque, and it was bizarre hearing the ECW music, by the way. I found that to be like this very jarring, like, not in a bad way necessarily, but like, holy shit, did that music take me back and feel incredibly throwback.
You know,
what were you going to say?
On Saturday night, I was at the Classic City show, and I got to sit with Iceberg, and we were talking about that a little bit, and I said, yeah, you know, I got in that building a couple of times, and then he reminded me he wrestled there 3 different times.
Yeah.
Which I thought, oh, wow, yeah, nice.
Sure did.
Nice.
But I got to say, as far as sheer, I mean, I don't think it should disqualify them. I think, though, that Philly, as one of the, quote, great wrestling cities and great wrestling crowds, I think that was pretty much blown up. I didn't think they were very loud for WrestleMania for the most part. Now, it's hard to tell with the open-air stadium. I didn't think they were very loud for that. And they were complete dickhead shit heels for the Hall of Fame, with the exception of Paul Heyman. I mean, dickheads.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad I didn't watch then.
Part of the problem is they did it post-SmackDown as opposed to a separate thing, where people who used to go to the Hall of Fame, at least they wanted to be here, be there, right? They specifically were there. It was a different vibe. People dressed up. It was treated as its own entity, and you had to be some kind of drunken dickhead like Danny Only to get thrown out. That whole crowd should have been thrown out. When Bull Nakano gave her speech, which, by the way, amazing. She looked amazing. The fact that she came out with the war paint while looking, like, dignified and shit was one of my favorite things I've ever seen in the Hall of Fame. Her coming out of that goddamn paint when she looked like this gorgeous woman, it was so great. And, you know, her English is not the best, but she's giving this very sincere, cool speech, and they're, like, constantly talking and heckling and all this kind of shit. It was infuriating. And, you know, Thunderbolt Patterson fucking talked 5 million years. There's always one. But even then, they're very loud and disrespectful. They talked over everybody else. And I just thought they did not service themselves very well. And then by being a silent-ass crowd, I will acknowledge that the second night was better, I think, than the first for WrestleMania.
Definitely.
But
no, I agree.
They were quiet as kept for most of that show. I was like, this really has kind of a creepy vibe. And it's something we learned during COVID, I think, when we had those shows in front of nobody. When you don't have a crowd reacting, it makes what you're watching, it highlights the fakeness of what you're watching. And I found myself going like, this looks so by the numbers. And then I realized it's because it's not getting a reaction. And so it looks like you can almost see them going 1, 2, 3, go, 3, 4, 5, go. And it's like, it's because they're not reacting to almost anything. I don't know that was.
I thought it was a very good show. The whole WrestleMania was a pretty good show from an artistic standpoint. It didn't blow me away, but I thought it was good. I thought it was real good.
Mm-hmm.
I really, you know, I want to give a shout out to, I'm going to take a little detour here to give a shout out to Matt Griffin, because the action show on Thursday night was incredibly good. And Matt says the response in terms of views has been great, and the critical acclaim for it has been great. And I can believe it. It was a really top-notch show. It may very well have been one of the best of the week. So, I mean, Maccabi and Timothy Thatcher was the main event, which was the fifth match of their 5-match series, and that was excellent. There was a lot of really good stuff and quite a lot of variety. And just in general, action wrestling is on fire. I mean, they drew 700 at that middle school show and then went to the Bus Barn, which I think is their best building. If you're going to watch any of their shows on IWTV, check out the Bus Barn shows, because the atmosphere in that place, I want to get there and experience it, because it's pretty wild. I mean, it's you know, one of those sold-out, standing-room-only situations. So, action wrestling's tearing it up.
Yeah. Before we have Gary on, because we're going to have him on in about 5 minutes, there's like an interesting news story about Endeavor being bought out. I think this is just like a technical thing, but Endeavor being bought out overall, I think it's to boost the stock or something like that. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if you've heard about that. It's like,
no, I hadn't.
So I think in an effort to boost the stock, because it's kind of leveled off, right? So they had a private investment group that I think they're affiliated with Endeavor, actually technically by Endeavor. And so it was like they're pumping like $15 million into. So it reminded me the kind of money that we're dealing with, that like even the WWE, we're in another stratosphere as far as finance goes. So to me, it's ironic because I was thinking about this. Like AEW, though they are much maligned, especially nowadays, we have to realize that AEW, even in the form that it is in right now, is bigger than the WWE was at almost its entire run. Like, I was thinking about how insane that is, right? That it's still seen as it should be better. It's still seen as it should be more. And I would agree with both of those points. But yet, in terms of the money that comes in and out of that place, it is more successful in financial terms and size of the company and valuation of the company than it has been at any point of the WWF/E's history before, let's say, the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a much bigger – so I think when people are quick to be very critical, and I think they're going to close any day now, just realize they are in 5 years' time – they have made up 60 years of ground. And there's something that's kind of amazing about that. And there's also, it also speaks to the kind of money that they had to start off with and also the nature of the entertainment business in general right now.
Exactly. I mean, even AEW's lowly rated or thought of lowly rated Rampage show in television rating terms does pretty well. In cable ratings terms, even as low as it is, it's just amazing that pro wrestling carries this kind of sway. Hey, one other thing before Gary comes on, your thoughts of AEW airing the security footage from the backstage with Punk and Jack Perry? What do you think about that?
It's hard to be excited. That said, I'm absolutely watching. There's no way I'm missing that.
No, me neither.
Right? But then I think it's what do you want to see tells you more about who you are as a wrestling fan. And I think if people look at it that way, they would find it really interesting. So what do you want to see? Do you want to see Funk beat his ass? Do you want to see Punk locking him in a front face lock? Do you want to see CM Punk put down? Do you think that this is going to be like an Al Capone's vault where it's going to be a lot of nothing that they have actual footage of? Now, Tony Khan has gone through great pains to assure us that this is not a bait and switch, that we are going to see some shit, but I don't, like, I'm definitely going to watch. I think anybody who says they're not going to watch has no carny in their soul whatsoever. You got to want to see it. What do you think we're going to see, Larry?
Steve, what I want to see, is this where Tony Khan supposedly feared for his life?
Yeah.
Or was that a separate incident where he feared for his life, or is that going to be evident on this footage that there was reason for him to fear for his life?
If they're releasing this footage, my gut is there's something in it that makes them look good. And I would be curious on what that possibly could be.
Yeah.
And another thing is Punk has kind of hinted about what happened and to see if he's true to his word. I think if they found that he's been bullshitting with the thought that they'll never release this thing, then I think that's a different issue altogether, and I'll be interested to see. Real quick before we bring Gary on, I think because we won't have a lot of time to talk beyond Gary answering questions and talking about this commissioner that's got it out for them and all this other stuff, I just want to say right off the rip, to remind people that this Georgia, this fight commission that we're going to be talking about, do they still have province and sway over the pro wrestling business as well? I just want to establish that from the rip so we're not wasting a lot of time talking about that.
Well, cool. Let's get him on. We're pleased to have as our guest the promoter of Elevate Fight League, the promoter of Southern Honor Wrestling, otherwise known as Grappler Number 3, Gary Lamb. Welcome to
What's
Tipping
going
Point.
On, guys? And just before we get into anything big, I want you to know I'll be watching the CM Punk footage too, and I've never watched 1 second of AEW.
There you go.
I can't wait. Steve nailed it perfectly. If you have an ounce of carny in you, you're watching that shit.
Speaking of, you know, Gary, I thought the post that you put up sort of promoting this show and your appearance on it, I thought it summed things up really nicely as far as your guys' position, which is, and it asked a very simple question, and so I'm going to ask it back to you. Why did Georgia, before Elevate Fight League, only have one promotion that ran regularly? Why is that the case? It seems absolutely mind-blowing. As you said, Florida's got a billion promotions. Tennessee has more than their fair share. Why did Georgia only have one? Is it all tied to the fact that this one guy, what is his name's Clay, right?
Yes, and no, so directly it's not tied to him. He didn't officially become a commissioner till July of 23. That
okay.
being said, NFC is the OGs in the state. I mean, they are the forerunners. I mean, they started back within weeks of UFC running their first pay-per-view ever. So, I mean, you know, they had big plans. It was NFC, National Fight Championship. They had plans to go national. And when you've got 20 years close to running a state and his right goes to every single commission meeting every month and has become friends with the commissioners and has, in our stance, has worked his way into now having actual staff members from his company on the commission. It's easy to make certain people's life difficult and not make your life difficult. He became such a regular every month at the commission meetings that commission would literally in the middle of the meeting, not during the open public session, he's just a public person there, would turn to him and ask his opinion on subjects like he was part of the commission and he wasn't. I mean, so
right.
he's earned that right in some ways to have some influence, but if you're the guy in the state, you don't want anybody else in the state. And it is not even from the grounds of it affects your attendance. He's still selling out shows, and we were selling out shows. But it does change the game when it comes to the fighters. It changes the game to being able to pick the fighters, blackball certain fighters, what you're going to pay the fighters. Now there's competition. And it changes the model in creating a buzz. I mean, I'm not good at much, but I can create a buzz. And so we created a buzz pretty quickly through six
right.
shows. And we became kind of the talk of the state. It's obvious to see our attendance at our shows and the action building, just like it does with wrestling, tends to lead to this underground fight club vibe, which people loved and bought into. It was a safe environment. It wasn't a bar. It wasn't a strip club parking lot. People came. They could bring their kids. And so we quickly carved out our niche, and, man, that went over like screen doors on a submarine to the point that he tried to talk my partner before we launched, who used to fight for him, into going and starting a league with him and ran the numbers with him. And I think Warren, now that he's seen the numbers he's putting in his pocket after every show, realized the guy was lying about those numbers. But,
right.
you know, he didn't want competition. You know, I believe that competition – kind of lifts the bar. I believe, and I know we can debate this, I believe Platinum did this back in the day for all of our headbutting and comments back to each other. I believe Platinum Championship Wrestling raised the bar. I believe when Southern Honor came around, we raised the bar. And there's a lot of promotions that look like what we're doing now because competition makes you step up your game. There's a reason CVS opens across the street from Walgreens. So I look at competition as a good thing.
You cannot call yourself a viable area with one thing running. I don't care what that one thing is.
We're not talking about
there's
one in the
viability
city of
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about one promotion in the city of Atlanta. We're talking about one promotion in the entire state.
Right.
That's mind-boggling. But we've got emails and we've got messages from everyone who ever tried to start, and every time they tried to start, they dealt with the things that we dealt with. The difference was so many of those guys were tied to the fight community. They owned gyms. They were agents for fighters. They didn't want to go public with their fights for fear of getting blackballed. I'm not tied into the fight scene, so I have nothing to lose. If I don't run another fight show ever, I'll be greatly disappointed. I love it. I kind of found my niche in it. It's fun. But my livelihood doesn't depend on me running fights, so I can fight the fight.
Question, Gary. What, you know, the clerical errors that led to suspension, what exactly were these errors?
So the clerical error was very simply this. When we created our LLC, when the person who created our LLC, they entered my email address and they wrote out the word Elevate, Gary@ElevateFights.com, instead of ELV, the number 8. And so what happened is the renewal for our LLC did not come through. So unbeknownst to us, our LLC got dissolved. Now, what's funny is I've had other LLCs that I've not renewed for 2 and 3 years, and they didn't get dissolved. But when someone's trying to obtain your LLC, they can dissolve your LLC very quickly. So you can read between the lines on that. And so now here's the funny thing. There's nowhere in the commission rules you have to have an LLC. It says that nowhere. But so we did. We ran 2 shows without an LLC. It was brought to Commissioner Clay Bennett's attention by an anonymous source. You know, it's funny. His email's not on the website, neither his phone number. So, you know, who could be the anonymous person except, you know, his friend that owns another promotion? Brought it to his attention. He brought it to the what's called the executive director, which would be our athletic commissioner, who is phenomenal. Matt Woodruff called me and even told me, said, "Hey, man, it's been brought to our attention. Your LLC has been dissolved." And I, of course, I was speechless, shocked. He said, "It's really not that big of a deal. Can you get it fixed?" So we called the state. We paid $500 to have it renewed within 24 hours.
Right.
According to the law, the minute you reinstate your LLC, it's retroactive to the day it was dissolved. So on paper, the Georgia Secretary of State page, it was never dissolved. Clay Bennett would not let it die. Now, you got to remember, this is after some other issues. This is after him showing. So he became the commissioner in July, shows up at our August show, has never showed up at anybody else's show, has never showed up at a wrestling show, has never showed up at a boxing show, but showed up at our show and was going to shut our show down because we were serving drinks out of cans, Cokes and Sprites. Apparently there's a rule that the commission has never enforced. We didn't know about it. It's a 97-page rule book. So, you know, we kind of overlook some things. It's kind of funny. You pay your money to get your promoter's fee. You get a security bond, and then you get this 97-page book. There's no training for it. There's no walking you through anything. If we ask questions, the executive director was great to answer those questions, but he was going to shut our show down mid-show if we didn't remove all the cans from the show. I told him we were not going to do that. We were in the middle of a show. He called the executive director. The executive director informed him, "We are not shutting down a show. We've never done that. If we need to talk about this on Monday and reprimand them, we will." So like anything that gets brought to our attention, we had it fixed by the next show. So that started. Then the LLC thing started. They brought us in. You know, it is our understanding through talking through certain commissioners and different things, at the end of the day, they can do nothing. And so they knew they could do nothing. So what they did is they started changing the rules. So suddenly it wasn't that our LLC dissolved. It was that I lied on my promoter's renewal license because I listed Elevate Fight League LLC, but that's not true. I turned that in June, and our LLC didn't dissolve to September. So I didn't lie on anything. When I turned it in, our LLC was active. Then it turned into hypothetically, our insurance wouldn't pay out because it was in the LLC's name, but it's also in my personal name. It's also in our building's name. And on top of that, the state requires us to hold bonds. We carry bonds. So if we don't pay out, that's what a bond does.
Yeah.
So there was no danger of the fighters not getting hurt. So in the meeting, they asked us to explain what happened. Mr. Bennett kept insinuating the whole time that we had ulterior motives because, you know, I'm so cheap. We had ulterior motives to save $150 instead of renewing our LLC. We pissed away $150 10 minutes into the first show giving away shirts. So that wasn't an issue. He kept saying, "I don't want to say he's being crooked. I don't want to say he had ulterior motives." What would our ulterior motive be? To put me and my partner in harm's way with a lawsuit because there was no LLC to protect us? It made no sense.
Right.
It was recommended a fine. I even told them, "Give us the maximum fine. We will own up to the fact we had a clerical error." He insisted on suspension. wanted, if I recall, I think it was a 4-month suspension for both shows, so an 8-month suspension and a fine. Some of the other commissioners went back and forth, said they thought that was a little too strict. Why punish the fighters? Because at the end of the day, that's what they exist for, is the fighters.
You're exactly right.
By taking away a show, Mr. Bennett insinuated in this meeting that the only way I would learn would be by losing money. And so by losing a show, a fine doesn't do anything because apparently, you know, I have unlimited money. I informed him that by the time I got home, I would have another event that day, so money wouldn't be a factor. So it went back and forth. He finally made the statement he was not leaving the meeting until there was a suspension. So
wow.
Going back and forth, it finally came down to a 2-month suspension for each infraction, 4 months, a $300 fine for each infraction, which, you know, was fine. We had the right to appeal it, so we appealed it. What's funny is you appeal it to the same people who suspend you, so that's what's messed up. we went back and forth. We had a lawyer at the time go back and forth for us. We made them an offer. We even came back and said, we will accept the 4-month suspension. They wanted it to start April 1st. And so that meant it would end July 31st, which means we really would have had about a 6-month suspension, because by the ending July 1st, we wouldn't have been able to get our August show up. We would have missed our June show and then not been able to get our August show approved. So really, you were giving us a 6 or 7 month suspension. So we came back and asked. They didn't want to get rid of our March show because the fighters were in the middle of a fight cycle. We respected that. We came back and asked them, hey, can our suspension start the day, March 24th, the day after our fight show, and then end the day before the commission meets in July? That way you can approve our August show.
Yeah.
During this time, suddenly we got an email from the executive director wanting to know what police we had in the building, what their badge numbers were, what police station they worked for, because on page 87 of the rule book, it says that the promoter is responsible for, this is how it's worded, for the hiring of 2 off-duty officers. Now, here's the debate. What is the debate on what is hiring? We had off-duty officers at every show, probably 7 or 8 off-duty officers that were friends of ours. I don't think they understand my connections in the town. We allowed them into the shows for free. We had police and everything. On top of that, we had a professional licensed security company that brought in 8 to 10 security people at every event. We've learned doing events that security is better than police, because police can only enforce the laws. Security can enforce the venue's rules. So we always had things, but suddenly it became an issue because Mr. Bennett's interpretation of the rule was that we had to go through a police station to hire these off-duty officers, though the rules never state that. Though the executive director said it can be interpreted multiple ways. There's a lot of vague rules that probably need to be clarified. So suddenly it became clear to us that even if we accepted this suspension, we were coming back again with another charge, that they were going to try to suspend us again. It became very clear to us that they wanted us not to run for a minimum of a year. So at that time, we pulled back. We decided that we were going to fight this, go to the administrative hearing. Of course, they pushed the administrative hearing out to the last minute, which is the end of May. That's the furthest they can pull it out. So, you know, so now we've lost our June show, and if the suspension, we do lose that, it goes into September. So we decided to go public, but we waited. We waited until the morning after our March 23rd show, because the commission can shut your show down 10 minutes before it starts. So we wanted our show to run on March 23rd. I had already written the post. March 24th, we got up, and I went – right before I went up on stage to preach, I hit post. I hit all the Facebook posts, forgot all about it, came off the stage, and holy shit, World War III had developed in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It had been shared 70-something times, thousands of views. People were texting us, messaging us, sharing their stories of dealing with Mr. Bennett, who at that time was listed on the NFC, that's the other promotion in the state's website, as a staff member, as their matchmaker, and as the head referee, who's in all their promotional videos hyping their show, seen all over the internet in his NFC polo shirt. All kinds of stuff came to us. If you ever want to know how dirty the fight game is, I went to the mailbox and had a manila envelope. The return address was my address, and the address was my address to make sure it got to me. And someone had sent me an anonymous package of about 50 sheets of paper, screenshots of Mr. Bennett's Facebook, and just different, and I won't go into those until the time is right, but derogatory comments he had made towards certain sexual preferences, vulgar comments made to women, tons of comments where he's calling David Obloss, the owner of NFC, his boss, how grateful he is to work for him. David Obloss calling Mr. Bennett the greatest matchmaker in the state. This just anonymously got sent to me.
Oh, man.
Took time to print 50 pages of stuff. That's how bad the guy is disliked in the state. And then there's the other conflict of interest, Dr. Jeff Traub, who was the fight doctor for the NFC. And now let me make this very clear. He was very fair to us in the commission meeting. He listened to what we had to say. But at the end of the day, he's the fight doctor for NFC. His name is in the middle of their ring as a sponsor. We say it's a conflict of interest for him to be on the commission. How can you have an unbiased commission when two of the people work and are compensated? Dr. Traub will tell you he doesn't take money from NFC, but what he does do is he gets sponsorship. He gets told, the fighters get told in the pre-fight meeting that if you have any injuries, to go see Dr. Traub at his office on Monday. He benefits from the success of NFC. How can people like that be on the commission? It makes no sense. You can't be an active fighter and be on the commission. You can't be an active fighter and be a referee. You can't be an active fighter or a trainer or anything and be a judge. But yet you can be literally listed on – you can be an admin. Clay Bennett was an administrator on the NFC Facebook page until we posted about it, and suddenly he was removed. And so it's a conflict of interest. He comes to our shows. He's never been to any other show with the sole purpose of making our life difficult, hoping we'll go away when he doesn't realize I'm too fucking stubborn to go away and I thrive on this type of shit. So he picked the wrong guy because I really don't care. I mean, if you guys know anything about me in 5 years of wrestling, I love drama and I love controversy, and it's kind of my addiction.
Yeah, he picked the wrong guy, yeah.
I'll tell you how crooked it was. So at the end of the first show, the fourth show, excuse me, that he came to, which was the first one where he tried to shut us down for the cans. At the end of the show, we're walking out, and I'm trying to be nice and good-natured and put that politician preacher charm on him. And I thanked him for coming, and I said, you know, I really have no problem with NFC. I hope everybody does good. And I said, you know, it's just me promoting my show. And he looked at me, and he said, then I would stay off podcast talking about Obloss, meaning David Obloss. So not get on podcast talking about him, because I had been on a podcast. If this is not deja vu. If you'll remember, same thing happened with GPW. I was on a podcast, and someone said, what do you think about the competition? How do you handle them? And I said, I don't look at them as competition. And someone said, the podcaster said, what if you're running the same night? And laughing, I said, well, I would have to put them out of business. So he was letting me know, don't make threats against putting someone out of business. But, you know, is that not a conflict for a commissioner? And even our last show, we had officials calling us, telling us things that Clay had made aware that he was going to check for. Certain things with gloves, certain things with time limits, different things. They said, hey, just a heads up, I don't want my name said, but, man, he's going to show up at the meeting and he's going to enforce these rules. Enforce rules that even the officials for the Athletic Commission didn't know the rules because they've never been enforced. So, you know, we're just asking for a level playing field. We're not even saying we don't deserve a I think a suspension for the LLC thing is a little too hard. I think a fine was in order for that. A slap on the wrist was in order for that. It was, you know, intent does matter when it comes to the law. And even though that's not a law, I mean, you walk into this meeting and it's like the Wild West. They literally can just, they tried to, there was a boxing promoter who wrote on Facebook, fuck the commission. And they made him come in and apologize that they were going to suspend him. We have free fucking speech in this country. So let me make this clear. Fuck the commission. We can say whatever we want to say. You can't suspend somebody for free speech.
Yeah.
But that's just how – we always joke around. I think it's funny. We always say government is crooked or government's its own thing, and you don't realize it until you get behind the scenes on it and realize just how crooked it can be, because at the end of the day, the governor, the secretary of state, the last thing on their mind is worrying about the Athletic Commission. They're not worrying about
promotion and in Georgia. This isn't about government. I think we've got to make that clear. This is an – good old boy style network that kind of operates on its own, ostensibly with the power of the state behind them. But nobody gives a fuck about what they do, which is the only reason they could operate with this sort of impunity. Because nobody's watching the watcher right now, right?
Right.
Nobody's looking at them and going, None of these things can really stand. You can't have people that are affiliated with one of the entities that you're supposed to govern and regulate. You can't have involvement in that. I mean, all this is like basic bullshit, right?
It is, and it's so crooked. And as long as at the top levels, it's a squeaky wheel gets the oil, and that's why we had to go public. They don't care about the commission if they're not hearing about the commission. I told them in the meeting, and I am a person of my word. I looked at them and said, I'm not saying I was right in this, but I'm telling you what I said. I said, we can come to an agreement, or I'll take it to social media, and I'll go public. And Clay Bennett literally looked at me and said, you're done. Shut up. Don't say another word. And they all started laughing. Well, he's laughing now because he's sending messages through everyone for us to stop, for us to quit. It's gone too far, but his pride won't allow him to back it up. We came back with another offer to accept the original offer. We came back and said, hey, we'll take the original offer, but we want amnesty through our first six shows. We do not want Mr. Bennett to go back and nitpick things that we probably did wrong in our first six shows.
Mm-hmm.
We want amnesty, and in return, we'll take 6 months probation, meaning we've got to do a checklist of things to prove to you that we're following the rules, that we know what to do. And we thought that was a win-win because here's what it did. Four of the commissioners could have voted yes. Mr. Bennett could have voted no and saved face because his ego is so fucking big he would never come back and let us have it. He could have said he didn't agree with the decision, but he follows the thing. They all came back. It was our understanding they were going to accept that suspension and move on. It's also our understanding that Mr. Bennett got in their ear, and they were not willing to do that until we made a public apology and scrubbed our Facebook. Well, that's not fucking happening because regardless of the suspension, it doesn't change the fact there's two different issues here. There's the suspension issue, and then there's the conflict of interest issue. So once we get done winning this, and once we get done filing a civil suit over them for our June 8th show, because here's the deal, on our June 8th show, according to the commission right now, we're still in good standing. We have not accepted our suspension. We have not went before the administrative hearing, and yet we put our paperwork in for a June 8th show, and it's been tabled every time. How can you table a promoter who on paper is in good standing? You should have approved the show, and then the onus would have been on us. Do we promote a show knowing we could possibly be suspended? Chances are we would have said no, but we don't know. So they've now stopped us. If we win this hearing in May, we lose the income from our June show, so we're going to make sure we do everything in our power to recoup that. And after that's done, we've already met with our local representative. Our local representative, Jordan Ridley, has been phenomenal. He's in the House. He's already starting an ethics investigation. He started the paperwork for that. Everybody he's talked to, he's already been his way all the way up to the governor. So we're going to start an ethics complaint against it, and we're going to play the game and go through the system. But we've had too many people contact us asking us to fight the fight for them. And again, I have nothing to lose, so, man, I'll fight the fight for everybody. At the end of the day, I have nothing to lose. Worst case happens to me, I don't run fights anymore, and I replace those with festivals. Best thing that happens to me is I beat the government, and I build Elevate into a huge brand that can now go on the road and stuff.
I think there's a third thing, though, Gary, and it's the thing I'm going to ask you about now.
Yep.
If, here's a little story. So I started Platinum Championship. Well, when I started running a wrestling school, I ran into financial problems because 9/11 happened right after I opened, right? So I came up with this business idea called Almost Home Cooking. And this might sound familiar because it's basically what Grubhub and all that shit is now. It's kind of crazy that I was doing this back in the day. So I'm like, we're going to put menus out. We're going to make arrangements with local restaurants. They can jack their prices up slightly, and then we'll just take 20% of the restaurant price as our profit. And then I would send the wrestlers out to go pick up the deliveries. We would call it in. They'd pick the food up, deliver it to people in their hotels. We called it Almost Home Cooking. And to get permits and licenses for this stuff, I kept running into people who had a vested interest into stopping this from happening. Until I ran into the one, I said, I need to find the old guy that gets it and then just signs off. And that's exactly what I did. If the commission comes around, is this a matter of, do you feel like, this is the feeling that I get, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like this has gotten to the point where it's elevated to the point where it went from you wanting to run your shows and be willing to accept a punishment that was either in the form of a fine or just a couple of shows being suspended, as opposed to this thing which would amount to the death of the promotion or at least a crippling of it for a lengthy amount of time, to now it's a personal thing where it's like, we need to take up the mantle for all these people who are, we need to fight this corruption and all this other shit. If you can just go back to square one and they go, okay, look, maybe asking you to like take down your Facebook stuff was a bridge too far. Let's just do the two shows and just let everything go as a wash. And then we'll basically going to keep that one commissioner out of your business from here on in. If they said that to you privately, is that something you would be willing to do? Or do you feel like this public position of, okay, now it's war, basically, is putting you in a position where you're not able to sort of, it's taking away avenues that you could normally negotiate? I know that's a very tough question to ask.
No, it's not a tough question for me, actually, Stephen. I understand exactly what you're asking. And I know that you're going to think this is a full of shit response, but it's not. But I am a person of conviction. I might not be your normal pastor, but I'm a pastor. And we do church for the downtrodden. That's what we do. Our church is full of addicts and homeless people. And I'm a person of principle and conviction. And my kind of life has been fighting for those who can't fight for themselves. I was the guy in high school, man, if you were fucking with bullies, I fucked with you. And so it is now the principle that we've made the stand that we think there's a conflict of interest. We didn't say there was a conflict of interest to get our way. So by getting our way, it doesn't change the fact that there's a conflict of interest on the board that is not going to go away as new fight promotions get started. After this blows over and Mr. Bennett decides to turn his attention back to us again, it's a genuine conflict of interest that makes the playing field unlevel in the fight game in Georgia. And so it's a conviction of mine
more.
To fight that.
That is true. Yes.
And my partner is. So my partner's Warren Thompson. He's been in the fight game for 20 years. I mean, he's the Lions kickboxing heavyweight champion, United States heavyweight champion. I mean, he's big in this state. Warren more than me is a person of conviction. And, like, for him now, it's a fight for the fighters. You know, a monopoly's not good. The fighters get underpaid. They get blackballed. They get used. They get abused. And so that's why our partnership has worked kind of like mine and Dylan's. Warren worries about the fighters. I worry about the fans. And so both of them get equal billing, and both of them come first. So for Warren, he's a fighter by nature. And so now he's not going to do good. He's not doing good with someone who's being bullied. We've hired a very knowledgeable lawyer, wrote the biggest check I've ever written in my life to a lawyer. I can't go into the details of that because our first conference call is tomorrow, and then he will begin to reveal himself to the commission. They will be shocked when they find out who we hired. And it's going to show that we didn't come to play. And they know that, and we know his first move. And his first move is going to send chills up their spine because it's going to expose tons of stuff that they can't hide anymore. So it is what it is. We're putting our money where our mouth is to fight this cause because, I tell you, I didn't know there was a wrestling community before I got into wrestling. And, man, there's a community, and I love it. Even the shitbags in Augusta, I love them. You know what I mean? I love the community here. And so, but there's a community in fighting, and now I love that community. And this sounds a little arrogant, and I don't mean it to, but I do. I love the fact that I have the talent and skills to take these guys and elevate them and make them known and promote them and let them come out into a big fight field and a place that's packed out with lights and screens. And so that's what they dreamed of. And I had the ability to do that. So it's a passion of mine now. I'd be heartbroken if we couldn't run fights anymore. My life would go on. I would still make money, but I enjoy it. I enjoy it to the point that for the first time ever, at the end of the year, my wife and I talked about a 2-year transition plan of me transitioning out of festivals and stuff and going fully into the fight game because we've had tourism boards from other cities, large cities in Georgia, bring us in, begging us to bring fights. Fights impact the community. The hotel, people travel. All the hotels get booked. The bars get full. The restaurants have big days. It's a big deal when fights come. And this isn't me knocking wrestling, but it's not wrestling. I mean, our cheapest ticket is
$45. It absolutely is not wrestling.
Yeah,
not at all.
We have $1,200 tape, $1,200 fucking dollars to sit on our stage, and they sell out within days. it's a big money industry. And of course, you can always follow the dollar, and hence why people would try to shut you down.
Yeah. Let me go about my question in a slightly different way.
Okay.
I'm just spitballing. Isn't it more advantageous? Can't you cause as much change if you're actually running shows as opposed to this sort of all or nothing gambit that it sounds like is going on? Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it does make sense, and the answer is no, Steve, you can't, because of their ability to literally make up rules as they go, their ability to find some obscure rule in a 97-page book, you don't have one moment of rest, because you never know when you're going to look at one of them wrong or make one wrong comment on social media that gets you shut down again. So you don't get to run openly and run through stuff because – they're trying to – if you sneeze wrong, they literally got mad that we had a little kid walking around with a can of Sprite. So, they were going to shut our show down over it. So, no, there's not a moment of peace. Had we accepted the suspension and Mr. Bennett never came after us for the police thing and all the other things, we probably wouldn't have put two and two together, the conflict of interest. As we began to dig and the anonymous emails started coming to us and the tips started coming to us, we were able to put the pieces of the puzzle together that he's in bed with the other promotion and great friends with them. And it's obvious he's out to serve their best interest. And he played a foolish game. And
I would realize that.
Gary, who names the commissioners? How do they get to be commissioners?
I'm about 90% right on what I'm about to tell you, okay? So the Secretary of State and the governor place the board of the commissioners through recommendations of people that are active in the fight game. So we have messages where Clay has told people David Obloff got him on the commission. Again, why wouldn't you get your worker on the commission? Why wouldn't you get your doctor on the commission? So it's normally people who are active in the fight scene. So, for example, Larry, if there was a wrestling commission, because you're so active in the sport, probably someone would recommend you be part of the commission. People who have just been active roles in fighting. They showed up at fights. They participated. Okay. They volunteered. They're active in the fight scene. In this case, was on staff with the promotion. And so through recommendations, it gets up to the Secretary of State and the governor. They're not active. They don't care. Again, they're not worried about what the commission is doing as long as they're not hearing from the commission.
Yeah, yeah.
And it handcuffs the executive director, Matt Woodruff. Matt Woodruff is phenomenal. But the only way I can equate Matt Woodruff's role is kind of like in our town. So in our town, the mayor is simply a figurehead. He is the face with the place. But the city council makes all the decisions. Our mayor's not even allowed to vote. That's what Matt Woodruff is. So he's
got no power here with what
they're
doing.
He has no power at all. He's told us. He knows. And here's the deal. They're trying to out Matt because I'm telling you, I know what their move is. They want to get one of these guys in the position of commissioner. We got a phone call from an ex-commissioner.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen to this, Steve. As we're walking into our hearing, a former commissioner called my partner and told him, listen, this isn't your fault. It's Matt's fault for not noticing your LLC expired. Throw him under the bus. It's time to get him removed. And, of course, we're not going to do that. Matt's been good to us, but Matt's limited in his power. So what they're doing is they're trying to kill two birds with one stone. They want us out through suspensions, but they want to say, hey, this was the commissioner's fault or the executive director's fault that he didn't notice these things in the first place. How did he not notice they had cans at the show? How did he not notice that their LLC had been dissolved? How did he not notice X, Y, Z? And so they want him out. They've made it clear that it's no secret they want him out where they can put one of their people in power.
Hmm. Gary, I'm gonna hold you down to a prediction here. So you've got this big thing coming up. You've got this lawyer. You know, these lawyers so good, they're going to be working in Alaska, right? So what's your prediction? What's going to come of all this? I know it's impossible to say for sure, and you may not want to say what you think might happen for legal reasons or whatnot, but if you had to, like, kind of, like, extrapolate ahead, because a guy like you has to think of, like, you know, I always tell people, ask the question, what good can come of this, right? So obviously you're going into all of this with a with the thought that something good is going to come of this. What do you think is going to happen at the end of this level?
I have a move that I hope happens with the first move our lawyer makes. Will that happen? I don't know. I don't want to say that out loud because then they hear it and say, well, it's definitely not going to happen. So I have a move that I think will happen. But what I think will happen is we will go to the administrative hearing, which is funny because your administrative hearing is against the commission. It's in front of the commission. They're your review board, the ones who find you in the first place.
Right.
The nice thing about that, though, is we get to put them on the stand.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And that thing, we will begin our process of exposing the corruption in that. I believe we will lose that. And then we will go to Fulton County. We will take it to Fulton County Court. We can take it all the way to the Georgia Supreme Court. Our hope is that the commission hates the backlash. They hate the fight. They hate the bad press. I hope Mr. Bennett does the right thing and says, man, I'm a conflict to the thing. I'm causing a distraction. I resign. And I hope we can reach an agreement. But we will not stop until he's removed from the Board of Commissioners. And we want an explanation of Dr. Traub's role on the commission. Again, even though he's been fair to us, you're the fight doctor, and you're an in-ring sponsor for the opposition. We want to hear an explanation of that. So for us, we're not stopping until Mr. Bennett's removed or until we go to the final course to get him removed. And if we lose, then we look ourselves in the mirror knowing we fought the fight that we could fight and spent lots of money trying to do it.
Okay. And as far as Elevate Fight League, what's the long-term prognosis, you think? You think this is going to end up being a – where you guys are out of commission until close to the end of the year, and then you're running again? Would that be acceptable?
Yeah, I mean, my gut tells me, if you had to ask me, my gut tells me there's a 50-50 chance that we'll get to run our August show. I feel pretty confident. I don't know why I feel confident, so let me make that clear, that our October show and our December show will be able to run. That is my hope. In that regard, if not, then what I probably see happening is two total strangers that I just happen to know creating an LLC called Elevated Fight League, where they hire me and Warren as consultants, and it running in the Action Building.
I love it. Oh man,
I love it. I don't know how much longer you're going to be on here. I'll just say, I'm completely satisfied. I looked into stuff myself. I kind of did like sort of an unofficial fact check to make sure you were coming on here. And like everything you're saying, I'll just say this, is absolutely true. Everything seems to like pan out. And it is as close to a clean and noble fight as you can have. To be a pretty dirty business. You know what I mean? I would absolutely say that it wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And I think you guys know, I mean, you've now known me. This is hard to believe. You've now known me for 5.5 years. So,
bro.
Yes, I will stir things up. Yes, I will take shots. But at the end of the day, for all of my stuff, I've never questioned someone's integrity. I've never went after them personally. I've went after their shows. I've made fun. I've fired them up. For me to take this road and go that direction, I had to feel pretty strongly and pretty confident that what I was doing was right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're making this fight.
Just best of luck, and please keep us updated. And, you know, I imagine there's a lot of people, if this thing continues to drag on, I mean, from Dave Meltzer to any number of people who are interested in this story. Again, it's because it seems like they're following whatever you do. I would just urge the Georgia, like, this is a great time to sort of de-escalate this and smooth this thing over, as opposed to you never want to be known as a place where it is hard to do business or that it's corrupt or a good old boy network. It is clear to me that in both pro wrestling and in the fight thing, like, those days are done. I think, you know, like, once Endeavor has swallowed up the two biggest entities and all this kind of stuff, like, this day of, like, good old boy network and old school, like, exercising your power stuff, like, it's done. And
well, I'll tell you, so I've got, you know, I put on craft beer festivals, so I have a lot of friends in the craft beer industry, and that's also a regulated industry in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
And they've all told me the same thing. They said, listen, there's a changing of the guard going down at the Golden Dome. The younger crowd is getting voted in. They're starting to make moves. So even, you know, like for breweries in the state of Georgia, we're like 48th in the state in laws. Like, they're horrible laws for local breweries. And but they're seeing a changing of the guard from the good old system. And same thing in fighting. Someone's got to fight the fight. The regulated entities that had no accountability and people just got to run roughshod over everyone because they had never led anything in their life, and that was the first time they got to be in a circle jerk and act like they're somebody. Those days are over, and they're coming to an end, but it's going to take some people who are willing to face the consequences. And like I said, for us, we have nothing. I don't lose a gym. I don't lose fight. I don't get punished long term if I lose or I expose. So I only help those that are in love with this industry.
Yeah. And I mean, and you deserve to run your promotion. Like, again, it's a thing that makes the scene better as opposed to worse. To me, it's that simple, right? Is what you're doing. Like, do you make a profit? Of course, right? Why do it otherwise? What's the incentive otherwise, right? But, like, beyond that, is it good for the stature of fighting in general in the state? I think so. It's pretty obvious. So,
I don't
see where you lose this fight. Now, maybe if we're in the age before the internet, maybe if we're in the age where they could swallow you whole or enforce this sort of, like, police state power upon you, but I think in Kent and Georgia and all the rest of these factors, I just don't see where this ends well for them. I think it's a case where, and I mean, Gary, I'll just put this out there. I think this is just a place where, as the Japanese say, they're going to look to save face in some way, shape, or form. And I would just hesitate to make sure that when they make that offer that allows them to save face, because I would argue that that's what the take your post down thing was. I think that was just them going, like, we just need a concession. I'm not saying you were wrong for not agreeing to it. I think you were right to not agree to that. But at some point, they're going to want to save face in some way, shape, or form. And maybe what you're not looking for is an absolute unconditional surrender.
Absolutely.
You know,
we told them if Mr. Bennett stepped down, we would remove our post. But as long as he was on the board, we weren't stepping down.
Done.
So we're going to fight the fight, and it's going to be fun. And you're right. Social media now gives voice to the people. And I think – I don't mean this in a cocky way. I think they underestimated my tribe and my ability to communicate. And so we rallied people pretty quickly. And, I mean, I'm talking about we have UFC fighters messaging us, telling us about the crookedness of the state convention or the state commission and how they need us to fight the fight and somebody needs to do it. It's time for them to be exposed, or at least time for them to acknowledge they have made some poor decisions and the perception of the board is not good. And the way you're perceived is the way you're received. And so they need
to
fix that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if this is the first step to the state becoming this thing that's open for other fight leagues to stuff. And again, everything doesn't have to be as big as what you guys are doing. I think a sign of a healthy state would be a number of people running like smaller promotions that fail or not fail. That's okay, but they should be given the opportunity to run business. And it seems, unbelievable that there isn't that in place already. That tells you that there's something's rotten in the state of Georgia if there aren't a number of people trying a bunch of startups. That just doesn't seem even possible with the popularity of this fighting thing.
Yeah, and I can't get into all this, but we have messages where they have tried to keep the big leagues out of here. You know, things like bare knuckle, which the state approved, yet still there's no rules for. And every time bare knuckle tries to run a fight, it gets tabled. And, you know, like, you're talking about something that's going to sell 25,000 tickets, and the commission is going to make money on that. They should be approving that and endorsing that.
Yeah. But, you know, if your goal is control, the easiest way to control a thing is to have nothing happening. And unfortunately, it feels like that's where they are. And hopefully you could be a big reason that changes. I think that's it's a big story. It's bigger than pro wrestling. That's for damn sure. And man, I just wish you the best of luck. I'll make this promise. You fucking get your way on this commission thing. I'm gonna speak for Larry. I think Larry and I need to come to an Elevate Fight show, and we need to have a picture of the three of us toasting with some either cheap champagne that I buy or expensive champagne that Larry buys.
Yeah, long as it's not in a can.
As long as it's not in a can. I have little kids. Have one of my kids walking around with it. But, like, yeah. I mean, we need to show up for this thing. I think the work you're doing is really important. And I just think it's really cool. And I see the best of luck.
Well, I appreciate you guys.
No, thank you for laying all this out. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. Thanks for all you do in Georgia.
Take care, man.
All right, man. You'll get them. I love it. I love it.
Me too.
I think,
me too.
You know, my dealings with the wrestling part of that commission was always very easy. And I mean, but I always thought it was strange that the fight thing was attached to the pro wrestling thing, because I feel like not only are those two things not the same, right? It's basically performance art and then competitive sport. How are both of those under the same umbrella? It's ridiculous, right? And whenever I dealt with the commission, it was always, okay, let's grab lunch or have this little meeting. Once I go, I always would go in personally to renew my license, right? And their attitude was always like, don't bleed. That was it. Don't get color. And I would do what you're supposed to do. I would say, of course. And then
right.
I would go about that night and get color. But like,
right.
Like no matter what, that night someone was bleeding, just speak on principle. But that's all they cared about, right? But the fight part of it, and this is not excusing them, Larry, by any means. But I think what we have here is guys that forgot what the point is. It's like they said in to crib American President, the movie. They're so busy trying to keep their job that they forgot to do their job.
Yeah.
And what
yeah.
they are there to do is to make it a safe environment, but more importantly, a fertile environment. There should be a bunch of fight promotions. And I think what they're doing is, I don't know if it's even as selfish as we want to protect this one group. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that it doesn't have to do with that kind of corruption, but of another thing that's a much simpler answer. You know, I'm a big fan of Occam's razor, right? The simplest answer is the correct one. You know what I think it is, Larry? I don't think it's we're trying to protect the one group that we have a vested interest in. I think it's laziness. Sheer
well, that wouldn't be too shocking.
Laziness. I think
it's state-related
sheer,
function.
Like, so if we don't have groups to regulate and watch, then our job becomes non-existent. Then we just show up and have lunch together, and if they're getting paid, get paid, and there's nothing else to do. And then we can point to the fact that, yes, we're making sure these groups just can't handle it. So these groups just can't do what they're supposed to do because
well,
we run such a tight ship. Well, that needs to change because Georgia, again, and again, for the people who think that Georgia wrestling needs to be more regulated, fuck you, first of all, because this is what you end up getting, right?
Yeah.
You end up getting a scene that is dead. Is Alabama better because they have a commission? The answer is no.
I don't
right?
hear anybody saying Georgia needs to be more regulated anymore, do you? I don't know who's even saying it.
Not anymore, thank goodness, because I think everybody is very happy. Like, if these guys had to get gate receipts together and all this kind of stuff, oh, please. It's never happened. It's like when we had that other goof on that's no longer running. It was just like, really? Do you get your gate receipts together every show? I mean, of course you don't, right? And again, but you know what that is? That's one of those rules that you put in there that if they wanted to enforce and wanted to railroad you out of business, they could easily do it and they could get everybody with it, right? And so I hope that this fight goes well for Gary. I hope that they did get the right lawyer because the answer is almost always, unfortunately or fortunately, getting the right lawyer makes a huge difference in almost every aspect of life where there's a conflict involved.
How much you want to bet Gary got the right lawyer? I'm betting he got the right lawyer.
Oh, he got somebody that's no doubt, I mean, probably has experience fighting this kind of fight. So,
yeah.
And probably someone a little splashy, you know? Like,
hey, let,
I'm talking like this. Oh, just, yeah.
We got to get Duke on here because we're way over time for this.
Do
so,
it. Get Duke Ingram on, baby. Get him on.
Well, let's talk about this power rankings. Let's see if we got him here. Do we have Duke Ingram, Pastor Jakes? Is this him? Do we have him? Hello?
Duke.
Duke. Do we not? Wait a minute. I got a message here. It's not from Duke.
Ooh, is it
well,
a threatening text from the commissioner? That would be great.
Yeah, right. That was so Duke was there, and now he's gone. Let's see if he pops back up here.
Perhaps he is risen. We shall see.
That was him. Wait a minute. Here he is.
Can you hear me now?
Do we have Pastor Jakes?
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
had to pray into the phone there for a minute.
So,
how you guys doing tonight?
Well, we had quite an interview with Mr. Lamb. Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, very fascinating stuff. You know, I do have to say there is one person in Georgia wrestling who pushes for more athletic commission involvement, and that is Pastor Donald Jakes.
Well, that's a heel.
Well, you know, there's a lot of bad things in wrestling that he wants to take care of, but that's another story for another day.
Good,
nice.
Yeah. Join
let me,
the commission.
Let me jump in before we talk about the power rankings. So Gary sent me a link to his attorney, and I just looked. They're fine. They're fine. I won't go into it. I'll just say, like, just take it from me. They're fine. So, okay. So moving on to the power rankings. So go power rankings.
So I know, Duke, you did this one quarter last year. And then it was a big hit, and so explain how we got back to this. You know what the story is this time on the power rankings.
So you know, forever with the power rankings, it was usually you know whoever wrote the article with you know some other suggestions and things like that. But generally, it was one person's opinion, and I kind of wanted to broaden that to get you know more insight, more opinions because we all don't view the same wrestling. So I asked four members of Georgia Wrestling History, as well as a mystery guest voter, I guess you could say, to submit a top list to me. And once that was done, I basically awarded points based on how many of those lists you made and then where you were ranked on those lists. So if you were ranked one, you got a certain amount of points as opposed to being ranked 20th, where you got, you know, obviously much less points. So, you know, once we did all that, I put everything into a spreadsheet, and we have our top 20 wrestlers of quarter one.
Nice. And they are as follows.
All right. So, number 20, CB Suave. You guys want to chime in? You just want me to keep reading?
Yeah, just keep reading. Yeah.
Okay. So we had CB at 20. We had a tie for 18 between Aaron Dallas and Barry Morales. At 17 was Dom Stuckey. 16 was Alexander Lev, the Always Faithful. At 15, the Black Bats, Trevor Aeon. And then at 14, this one was a little bit of a shocker, I think. Thrilla the Great. And I just want to say that numbers 14 through 20 were very tight, and those really could have went almost in any order depending on the voting. But from 14 to 20, they were all separated just by a couple of points.
Yeah.
So climbing up to number 13, we had at 12, we had Cody Fluffman. 11 was Adam Priest. At 10, we had Owen Knight. 9 was Judas. Number 8 is Gnosticism. Number 7 is C.T. Keys. Number 6 is Krull. And I want to point out that Krull received a second-place vote and a third-place vote. Number 5, Alex Kane, who also received a second-place vote and a third-place vote. We had a tie for number 3 between Hanu James and Nick Halen. Number 2 was Chip Day. And number 1, receiving 3 first-place votes, Bryce Cannon.
Well, nice.
I think it's a great list. A couple of things I want to mention right from the jump. Two guys on this list, unless I'm mistaken, they didn't make any of the quarterly lists last year, mainly because they didn't wrestle that many promotions or that much around the state, and that would be Alex Kane and C.T. Keys. And I'm so glad to see them and totally agree that they belong in that top group.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex has done some great stuff this year at Action and Kevin Ryan's promotion. He had a great match there, Classic City. So, you know, he's definitely doing some great stuff in Georgia right now.
Definitely. I think what that list speaks to, like when you listed, you know, 15 through 20 or 14 through 20, I could just roughly say, with the exception of, I mean, you could argue that Dom is a main eventer at, let's say, WrestleAmerica or something, but those are not necessarily main event guys. And the higher you went up that list, the more integral to promotions those guys were. I mean, you know, like, if Chip Day's in your league, he's a major player in that league, right? Same with Bryce Cannon, obviously. So I think those power rankings really hold up effectively. And I think whatever system that you use, I think it's kind of bearing itself out. I think that really, that's a very good list.
Well, yeah.
I think
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think, you know, the system definitely has like some checks and balances in it. So that, you know, we're getting multiple opinions and things like that. So, you know, until we come up with a better system, I think this one is definitely doing the job. And I told Larry, you know, I don't think the list is perfect, but I don't know if we could get it any better.
Right. And I certainly like our chances better with 5 or 6 people who see a lot of wrestling around this state coming up with their list than 1 or 2 people coming up with their lists.
Exactly. I do want to point out we did have some honorable mentions. These were people who received votes, but didn't get to the top 20. And there's some interesting names on this. Terry Young. This one I found to be really interesting, but Big Andy, you know, he's having some big matches across the state, maybe not from the top promotions, but, you know, he's definitely putting some work and getting his name out there.
Yeah.
You know, Mosley, who, you know, is gold. He hasn't done a whole lot, you know, this quarter, but, I mean, you know, he's one of the best in the state overall. Luca Daniels, who seems to be definitely on the rise, whose stock is growing. And the other one, the Aegis Wonder, Terry Lawler, who has, you know, done some good stuff.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm glad Very Morales' name on there. I'm glad his name is on that list so he can not piss, moan, and cry. I think that's really important. So, needed to be said.
So, yes. So, Duke, thanks for putting this together. And I think it's really, yeah, I mean, like you say, nothing's going to be perfect, but I don't know that anything could be. You know, it's a really, really good list.
Let's when we look at the nominees for Wrestler of the Year, I mean, they're kind of represented there near or at the top, right? With the exception of 1 or 2 people. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think it's a very accurate representation of Georgia wrestling at this point. So I'm very happy with the way it turned out. Yeah, I hope the people on it put some kind of stock into it, that, you know, we are paying attention to you, and, you know, that we do notice what you do.
It's really, really great. Let's quickly do the sum up. Where are you guys going to be this weekend or the weekend after?
Pastor?
This weekend, Donald Jakes will make his return to Southern States Pro Wrestling as he kicks off his spring revival tour. Should be a great show. Much wondering. Be 6 o'clock Sunday. Main event, champion Martin Stone or Danny Briggs. Danny Briggs is what he's going by now. He's going to face off against
Duke's phone just dropped.
All right. Where are you going to be, Larry, the next weekend or two?
Well, I may be joining the pastor and my good buddy Murder One at SSP on Sunday. I might make Wrestle America Saturday. Not sure about that. Then let's just mention the following weekend is the return of Viral Pro on the 20th. And the weekend after that is Disruptor. And also Southern Fried returns to action after a month off next Saturday night. And also, Steve, if you're available, I've got a couple guests lined up for a week from Thursday night.
Oh, a week from Thursday night, I should be able to absolutely do it. That sounds great.
Okay, so I can tell you right now, Terry Lawler will be one of those guests, and I'm working on number two.
And speaking of working on number two, I'll be in the shit on April 19th. They're having a big wrestling convention where the main guest of honor is Stan the Lariat Hansen. So I cannot be more excited to meet that guy, who I found out that Larry interviewed once upon a time. So I'm definitely going to be hitting him up to see if the bad man from Borger wants to do a rematch, Larry. But I'm going to be commentating the establishment show that's taking place during that convention. So I'm very excited to return and lend my golden throat to the establishment once again.
Excellent.
So that should be a lot of fun. A lot of old timers are going to be running around. So, you know, it's exactly my kind of scene. So I'm looking forward to that.
Great.
So, well, I would like to thank Duke, of course, for the power rankings. Again, just another way I think Georgia wrestling history is helping to elevate and continue to improve upon what we're trying to highlight and do in the state of Georgia. And then, of course, Gary Lamb, who's fighting the noble fight. And, you know, best of luck to the Elevate Fight League. Thank you to Gary for being so open about the questions. And, you know, can't wait to see what comes of that conflict. And, of course, you can read about all of this on gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, where there's a lot of great content. I got to say, the Kenny Wooline, a.k.a. John Johnson, has been absolutely on fire with these Flowers articles. I think the one on Moose Lewis might be the best one he's written yet.
I love it.
I think he's hit his stride. If you haven't read those things, you have an obligation, if you work in the state of Georgia, to read those things.
Yes.
It's a great primer in the history of Georgia wrestling, if nothing
else. Yes, he is recovering some of the lost history in those stories. Wonderful stuff.
And again, if you want to do show reviews and that kind of thing, please contact Larry or anybody else who you think might be able to help you out. We always love to have that kind of content. And it turns out we're going to be back with the Tipping Point, not this Thursday, but next week, Thursday, hopefully. And, you know, me, Larry, Rob, whole bunch of people are out here doing it, Duke. So, you know, help us out. And you can help us out, if nothing else, by reading what we're writing, supporting what we're doing, and sharing what we put out. In any case, this is for Larry Goodman. I'm Stephen Platinum. And this has been another great episode of The Tipping Point.
This Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.